It's been a busy week for the town of Chapel Hill. Of course, a lot of items on the agenda for the Chapel Hill Town Council at their meeting last night. Probably what we'll remember more this week is the Tar Heels winning the national championship on Monday. But to talk about all of that, we've got the mayor of Chapel Hill, Pam Heminger, with her Carolina blue shirt on, not the Gonzaga shirt.
Sorry, I'm not.
Because,
yeah, no,
because you don't have to.
How the mayor of Spokane is wearing.
The mayor of Spokane is wearing the Tar Heel jersey.
Yes, he's wearing the Tar Heel jersey on his spring break week, apparently.
Oh, of course. All right.
No, it's been a great week. The win, of course, was so exciting for everyone.
How did you celebrate?
We're at home screaming, jumping him down, watching the TV, texting with the manager who's at the command center. I did the command center on Saturday night's game. Mm-hmm. That was fascinating, too. And then just watching our team, our town, university, other partners team come together and handle this. We had very few injuries. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. We like people to celebrate. We want them to be safe. There's still some unsafe behavior, but that's to be expected.
There was a rather large bonfire. I had never rushed Franklin Street before. And I took the opportunity to do it. I was here at University Place and walked up the hill to Franklin Street, which you can do very easily at midnight. It's very well lit. There's a sidewalk and everything, that's very nice.
Well, I'm glad.
I was not expecting the size of the bonfire on Franklin.
Did you jump over it there?
No, I did not. I saw people do it.
Hey, we had rumors that somebody in a wheelchair went through one. We're like, oh my goodness. We did.
That might actually be safer than jumping over it.
It's never a good idea.
You've got a buffer between you and the fire if you're in a wheelchair.
But people climbing poles and falling off. So a few minor injuries, but for the most part, nothing major. So we were very pleased about
arrests,
that.
Right? There weren't any reports of any.
No.
Yeah.
You know, it really was truly a joyful celebration. Yeah. People were excited. I have friends that were in the Dean Dome that told me their ears were ringing the next day.
Only the next day?
Yes.
We can do better next time, guys.
I will tell you, the crowds downtown have still been intense, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I had a little late getting here because people are coming in, and so I've asked people when walking around, they're coming in to buy t-shirts, newspapers, all the things that go along with being part of, as I was told, we are now the University of National Champions.
We've always been the University of National Champions.
UNC.
It's
really good.
That's been the case since 24. So DTH is still selling the paper, right?
Yes,
They've still got copies?
They still got copies. Was there this afternoon.
That.
They still got copies. They're still taking orders and people, and the t-shirt trucks are unloading as fast as they can go, and the lines are still pretty long in the stores. People are enjoying it, but it's been great for our merchants, but it's been great for the morale of the town. This has been helpful, so it's been really good. So,
how about restaurants and other places that don't sell championship-related merchandise?
They've done really well, too. They're
right,
pleased. Yeah. Again, after having to suffer through an ice storm and then again a water crisis, this is sort of made up.
Which apparently we're still dealing with. I haven't even mentioned the fact that there's a Republican in what county was this even? Columbus County, who introduced another bill to the General Assembly this week to strengthen trespassing laws in case someone uses the bathroom. It's like
the cooling off
period lasted less than a week, and now the Republicans are back at it.
I don't think you'll see that one grow legs, but we're watching this impact fee one very closely.
Oh, yes.
We were hoping it wouldn't grow legs, but seems to be some energy around it now.
Yeah.
But we're hopeful that that the legislature is going to work on the budget and move away from these kinds of bills right now. So.
And local officials, organizations of local governments are speaking out against this. So there's a variety. What is it? The I'm blanking on the name of it. The County Commissioners Association has been in Raleigh for the better part of this week, at least, speaking out against this.
They're speaking actually the league speaking out against it. I was with a group of mayors meeting with Republican leadership, talking about the damage this would actually do. Some of the towns were talking about. Carthage was there talking about what this would do. The monies that would have to be paid back, and whose pockets are we lining at whose expense. So this is really, really hard. Impact fees are to help with impacts of new development, and they are truly passed on to the end user. So if you're moving in, impact fees are used for school systems, they're used for water systems. When you have to expand the water system, they charge impact fees. Chapel Hill itself does not charge an impact fee per se. Mm-hmm. But we do have some fees that we charge, stormwater, things like that, but they're not considered impact fees. OWASA does charge, whether they're covered in this or not, we're not quite sure. But the county does charge a school impact fee. That's what the separate bill was about. Mm-hmm. And again, this is a way to help pay for, you know, the new development helps pay for expanding of services instead of existing residents paying for new development. It doesn't cover the full cost. So the impact fee does not cover the full cost of it. So it's to help with that. And it's one way in this time where the state has taken away different opportunities for municipalities and county governments to raise revenues. We have very limited options other than raising property taxes. And no one likes to do that. They don't. And right now, we're still trying to figure out what that tax neutral rate is for after reevaluation. We're still working with that, trying to figure that out. To hold the town harmless, the county's going to be figuring theirs out to hold the county harmless, and then incorporating in what the expenses are going
and
to be.
And to keep the property tax revenue neutral, the same amount of money that's coming in, you have to adjust the tax rate. But depending on what your revaluation is, your property tax bill could go down significantly. It could go up as well.
So there are some people. I don't think you're going to see that many going down significantly. Mostly they go up.
Yeah.
But we're looking at all that. There's been some different fluctuations on getting businesses, and I will say that out there. I really encourage businesses and tenants of businesses to look at what the reval did, because some of those are passed on to the renters and some are borne by the landlords. And if you haven't paid attention, you need to, because you need to take a look at this and appeal. The ending appeal date is the end of this month, and you need to take a look at what your property got reevaluated to, because some of the changes we've heard have been dramatic, very on businesses. I haven't heard as much about the town. Houses, residential units, I've heard mixed. I've heard some people say, yeah, mine came down a little bit, or mine went up, or mine stayed. I haven't heard as much of a swing on that one.
Right. Speaking with Chapel Hill Mayor Pam Heminger, and I want to get back to impact fees for a second. There was the News and Observer's report on the debate from yesterday mentioned, and this is, I think, why HB 406, the first bill that came in, deals just specifically with Orange County, because it's Orange and Chatham counties. Are those the two that charge impact
school
fees
impact
for
fees.
School impact
right.
fees, and
right.
the other 98 counties don't? So
correct.
What do they do in order to, how do they make up the difference and pay for school construction in the absence of impact fees?
So there are, for other counties, especially low-wealth districts, there are other pools of funds they can apply for and get if they're a different level. So they have access to those kinds of funds. And you will note that we are one of the better school systems in the state because we are able to help fund certain programs. So they pull from other lines of their budget. It's a difficult time for schools in North Carolina in general. So, yes, what do those other counties do? Well, they have older schools like we do as well, but they have much older schools, and they're looking for other resources as well. I will say this one concerns me the most, not because of the particular bill itself, but because an individual representative from another district having nothing to do with our district can impose, put a bill out there and garner support with the supermajority without even consulting the representatives from their own district. That's what's really, really frightening to me, that this has never been done before from what I understand. Usually if you get a representative to put a bill in for your districts because you've asked them to, because you weren't in a position to do so, it's rarely done that way. But this one's very unusual that it was handled this way.
Yeah. And there have been similar situations recently where the General Assembly have stepped in and tried to redistrict Greensboro, for instance. That just got struck down by the courts, but the General Assembly did it. Wake County, the same thing. There have been a lot of cases.
Asheville,
where the General Assembly has stepped in and tried to fiddle with local policies. And we've actually, in terms of specific bills targeting Orange County, there haven't been really any yet,
but now there is. There's a hub. We don't want to create opportunities for that, Aaron. So that's to start a trend, right? It was very, very apparent last week when we were told that there was a supermajority, and it didn't matter how loud we yelled and screamed. They had the right to invoke, and they talked about, they feel that the cities have overexceeded their authorities. And I guess the cities I know don't feel that way. I know we don't feel that way. It's a difference. I mean, it's a difference of opinion on what's good for one. That local jurisdiction feels like they know what's good for their community, and they're not trying to impose it upon the rest of the state. But when you have individuals from other parts of the state that are trying to impose their will on top of everyone else, that's when these problems come.
Yeah, and we always talk about this in terms of, you know, separation of powers and division of powers. Republicans make this point, and I wish they occasionally believed it, that local government is where the power should be. There are a lot of issues where you want the power to be at the federal level. There are a lot of issues where you want the power to be at the state level for a variety of reasons. But all else being equal, local government should be able to organize themselves and create the communities that they want to create. I'm just quoting Republicans here.
I hear you. Different people interpret being a Dillon state in different ways.
Yeah.
It's just, and sometimes this legislature has just done things because they can, in our opinion. And it's hard. It's hard to watch that. As you watch these municipalities growing and becoming bigger and more successful and more inclusive and more diverse, like I said, North Carolina is changing. And in my opinion, it's changing for the better as we move towards those goals. It's not changing when we try to hold ourselves from approaching those kinds of value systems, because the world's changing. But I'm very, very hopeful that more people will come out and vote next time, that we can make a change. There needs to be balance. There needs to be representation from both rural and urban together, working things out together. We don't need to have the supermajority imposing one side versus the other. It shouldn't be that way. It should be what's best. And having to have all this go through the court system is no way to govern.
Yeah.
It really isn't.
Yeah, but I mean, until the courts rule, we've got this system of gerrymandering for state legislative district, for the state house and the state senate, that created these supermajorities that's been struck down as unconstitutional, and we're still living with it. So,
correct. Yeah. It will eventually.
It will eventually.
It will. Yeah. I'm hopeful. I'm very hopeful.
Yeah.
So let me talk about a good thing that happened last night. Very exciting.
Let's get to local government
first
here.
First time for Chapel Hill, we passed a new tool to have a light industrial zone that can be applied. Right now, it's a pilot program just applied in the Millhouse Road area. We're very excited because we already have someone who's interested in being an applicant to get the first building off the ground in this area. This is to encourage more of those businesses, which we don't have as many of, that could have a loading dock or a light manufacturing. And like I said, manufacturing is very different today with 3D printers and those kinds of things. Storage capability. We gave permission to have self-storage on top floors. That doesn't look like there's a great demand for self-storage in our community. But we don't want self-storage on the first floor because we want to promote jobs and activity and creativity and innovation. So that's all that got passed last night. We're very excited. So we hope to see something come out of the ground on that. Meanwhile, we had our second summit for entrepreneurship and innovation, trying to talk about what steps we need to take to show that we are serious about doing this. We talked about having a campfire versus a bonfire, and how do we make our campfire grow into a bonfire where we're actually considered the place people want to stay. These companies are being created here. These sparks are happening, but they are leaving us because mostly they say that we don't have a good way of communicating how to help, and we don't have the space. Well, it turns out we do have some spaces, and communicating about those spaces is something we're going to take real steps on. So it was exciting to have people in the room who are entrepreneurs who have been here in our community, who either started here or stayed here or came here, and what they think. We have a lot to offer for the entrepreneurship movement here. We have a lot of assets in Chapel Hill. We have a lot of talent. We have a lot of opportunity to keep that here, and we're partnering with the university as well. But this is mostly growing out of the business community. They know how to run it. We are helping facilitate. We are helping pull this together, but we want them to run it and help make the decisions and have an advisory council that anyone could go to. If you're thinking of starting a business, you have an idea, we need to work it through. So it's very exciting.
Very cool. So what about LUMO? I know the town talked about the land use management ordinance last night.
We did.
What are we going to see this year on that?
This year?
This year. Or, you know, in the next couple of years, long it takes.
So it takes a while.
It takes a while.
So we gave permission to forge ahead full steam on hiring for putting out a request for ideas, I guess, on hiring consultants that would be the ones writing, and for a project manager to be in charge of this project. We are looking at a 3-year span. So it'll take a while to put together and find people to reply back to and sort through all that to get the best consultants and the best project manager. We talked about both looking big and all over the country to see best practices, things that are going on, new ideas, and we talked about retaining local flavor. So our LUMO currently was written many years ago, and it hasn't evolved as we've evolved, And things are very, very murky in there and can be interpreted. And it causes a lot of extra staff time, a lot of frustration on the applicants, a lot of confusion on advisory boards. So we're hopeful that we can come back with a product. But first, we have to do that land use map. So that has to be done, has to be updated. There was one done for 2020, and it's got some places it needs to be updated. So that'll be the first step.
Awesome.
So it is. It is, actually, because we're finally making some movement on that. We allocated some funding to go with that, that the manager will figure out how to incorporate into the budget.
Cool. Townofchapelhill.org. If you want more information about the town, Mayor Heminger, anything else going on that people need to know about?
Yeah, the charrette this weekend.
Oh,
the
yeah,
American
that's Saturday.
Legion is
yep.
Saturday from 9 to 4, 10 to 4. Sorry. Yeah. I've got many events.
Come anytime. Yeah.
Yes, come anytime. Come look at the maps. Come give your comments. Come interact with the staff. Come talk to other neighbors and other people, citizens from the community. We've picked people to be on a task force to take all that information from the charrette and just the topography and all that kind of information to sit down and sort of sort through what they heard, to report back to council, and hopefully work forward on toward some kind of goals and path and see where that leads us. So we're excited. We did close on the Legion property, so the town now owns it, but it is leased to the Legion Post, and they have it for 3 years, so it's still their property, and we're asking people to be respectful of their property. And then the other component of that is the rest of it is open space for the town right now, so you can wander through in those parts. And the dividing lines will all be shown at the charrette, and then we'll be online later as well. So that's exciting. The
bouncing, that is 9 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Thank you.
Yep.
The Bouncing Bulldogs is having their grand opening. They opened a new facility over on White Plains Road, kind of near the American Legion,
okay.
actually. And they're having the ribbon-cutting ceremony on Saturday as well. And then the Orange County Democratic Party is meeting up in Hillsboro.
Okay.
The team, whatever. So there's just a lot of activity. And then tonight, I'm going to an event at the Moorhead Planetarium.
Oh, Jim Lovell?
Yeah, it's gotten a big grant to consider revamping the Moorhead Planetarium. They've
okay.
got this huge fund, and they're going to be displaying their thoughts on what that's going to look like. So that's very exciting. They're going to have another event later this month to go over that as well.
Oh, wait, no, we're talking about different things. Jim Lovell is going to be at Memorial Hall tonight.
Oh, he's at that's right. Sorry.
Yeah.
You're right. No, Moorhead Planetarium. So
you're at Moorhead Planetarium.
Yeah.
They're doing a thing. Jim
yes,
Lovell's at Carolina
yes.
Performing
so
Arts.
So this is
yeah.
really cool. The Moorhead Planetarium was one of the first planetariums in the whole South.
Mm-hmm.
It was built in 1949. And it hasn't been renovated on the inside since then. So there's some newer things they want to do, and
yeah.
I think that's very exciting.
Awesome.
So, and met with a group from studying the Ackland Art Museum and talking about how to increase visitors coming there. It is free. There's incredible art there, and we're trying to figure out ways to incorporate that and build interest and have people come in and see what incredible art we have there. So.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right.
And then this week, we're talking about the parking puzzle again.
Yes.
And opportunities for making improvements and changes to our parking. And then we're also going to be talking about the bus rail investment plan, or the BRIP, as they call it. So come to the work session on Wednesday at the library at 6:30.
Sounds good. Mayor Heminger, thank you so much.
Thank you.